You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message,
I'm a God or a Savior that sticks closer to you. I'm a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. You can always call on me. And sometimes I'm walking around or I'm driving and I'm talking to them and I'll see somebody in the other car looking at me because I'm getting animate just like I am now. And they look at me and they smile. And I meme it. With my expressions, I'm talking to the Lord. They don't hear what I'm saying. But you know what? It don't even matter. Because sometimes, look, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to him. And so there are times when my wife will be walking around the house singing. And she's singing melody. And listen, she sings out of her mouth what's in her heart. In regard to her peace that she has with the Lord or the joy that she has with him. And listen, he'll even spring that up in your heart and let you know that I don't care what you're going through. Not only do I have you, but man, I'm in that fire with you. When the lions, Brother Greg was talking about the lions. When you're in the lions, then you think they're going to bite you. He says, no, I'm right there with you. When the doctor comes and says that, Brother Ralph, it don't look too good. He says, yeah, it don't look too good from him. But guess what? He's only practicing medicine. I have made it my own. I got you. My family members are going through, or this is happening, or that is happening. And listen, you don't even have an answer and don't know which way you want to go. God said, just take my hand. I'll take you. And we're going to take care of this thing. And I'll show you how it needs to be. And guys, ultimately, for us in life, and look, I got a birthday coming up, I'll be 73. We know that time, sooner or later in time, for all of us, is going to end one day. We know that. But even with that, God says in his word, he says that even when you die absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. He's saying that it's not grievous. It's going to be better, Brother Ralph. So while you're here, keep serving me. Keep being obedient to me. Keep doing what I told you to do. You have no idea what I got in store for you, but you'll start to see it as you begin to be obedient to what I want you to do here on earth. Amen. He says, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even, he says, our faith. And he goes on in verse 5. He says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is one little stigma to that verse. You can overcome the world as a believer. And God will do that for you. But if you don't know him, if you're simply saying that, you're not overcoming the world. And the reason being why because you're still part of the world. You're part of the problem. And you're not going to overcome what institution that you're part of. And listen, if you don't know Christ, then you're part of the world system. And if you do know him, then you've already overcome the world. And even in time, he's going to bless you to give you your best life possible for the time. But guys, understand this here on earth is not our best life. It is yet to come. But until that comes, I'm going to serve him. I'm going to be obedient to him. And listen, if he tells me to go up to Mount Moriah and preach to the folk up there, I'm going to do it. If he tells me to go down to the lowest parts of the valley of the world, I'm going to do that. And if he tells me, hallelujah, I want you to stay right there, lamplighter, and preach to them guys like you. That's the last one you preach. I'm going to do that too. And wherever he says go, whatever he says do, I'm going to do it. And yes, I appreciate the blessings he brings my way. But I'm not doing it for blessings. I'm doing it because he tells me that that's what I need to be doing. And that's me. What is he telling you to do? Where is he sending you? Where's your mission field? Whom does he want you to speak to? And that is the question for all of us. And guys, we need to know that. And it can't just be about what I want. Man, because if it was about what I want, I would have been finished a long time ago. Me and my wife were talking the other day. And by the way, if you don't know, I met her in junior high school. And way back then, we had no idea that the Lord was going to do a whole series of events, times, and issues. We had no idea he was going to put us together. In fact, when it seemed like it was happening, I was trying my best not to let it happen. But you know what? Of all the people, all the ladies I had ever dated, most of them would just, whatever I said, they would just do. If I said go left, they would go left. Go right, they would go right there. Almost like they were automatons. But when I would tell my wife to do something, she'd look at me like I'm crazy. I ain't going, unless it made sense, she wasn't going to do it. And she wouldn't hardly listen to me. She wouldn't buy my mess. And she wouldn't fall for the stuff that I was saying. And man, that intrigued me, and it made me want to be around her even more. And listen, guess what? 100 years later, she still ain't falling for it. Because she, outside of Jesus and maybe my mother, she knows me the best. And she calls my whole card each and every day. But I thank God that he linked us together. Because we are almost totally opposite in the things that we like and the things that we do. But the one thing that we love the most and centrally love, and that's Jesus. And because of that, he takes what her, where she is, and takes where I am, and he takes that ministry couple and puts them together. And listen, my thoughts might not be hers, but she'll come up with a thought, and I say, wow, I never thought about it that way. And we amen each other, and he has put us together. And though we're opposite from the fleshly perspective, we are right on time when it comes to the things of Christ, and we're on board that way. And I love him how he's done that with us, and not just with us, he does it with a whole lot of other folk, guys. But being obedient, that's got to be number one in whichever and whatever he's calling you to do. Because without obedience, man, you can't please the Lord that we serve. He says in verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And he goes on in verse 6, he says, and this is he, though, that came by water and blood. And by the way, he's talking about Christ's baptism and his death, and we're going to look at some things in that regard in a minute. He says, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And John writes, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And again, speaking about Christ's baptism by John the Baptist, and in fact, we're going to mark this page here, please, and we're going to Matthew chapter 3 and look at that very same thing. It should be page 830 if you're using a pew Bible. Matthew chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Beginning at verse 1, just some verses we're going to look at today to kind of back up what John is saying there in 1 John. Should be page 830, Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now we know, and we saw even when Elizabeth, who was John the Baptist's mother, we know that when she was pregnant, she was 6 months ahead pregnant than Mary. And we saw when Mary came into the house that the babe in Elizabeth's belly leaped for joy, so much so that the Holy Spirit even infected and affected Elizabeth. So he was a forerunner in every sense of the word. It says in verse 1, in those days, if you're with me, say amen. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And listen, what he's saying is, look, you guys, you need to get ready because Christ is on the scene and things are getting ready to change. In verse 3, it says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophets, Isaiah, and that's the Greek for Isaiah. He says, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In other words, get folks' heart ready for the coming Messiah, because he's here, he's getting ready to come, things are going to change. He says in verse 4, and the same John, it says, had his raiment, talking about his clothing, of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. So in other words, John the Baptist, he lived simply. He dressed simply. He looked in his closet. All he had was camel hair clothes. So he knew what he was going to wear every day. He lived in the woods. He also knew what he was going to eat every day. I'm going to grab a couple of grasshoppers. I'm going to dip them in some honey. I'm going to eat them because I don't want to even think about what I got to do in the course of the day except to go out and be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. That's all I want to do. And for sure, he kept it that way. Verse 4 says, the same John had his raiment of camel hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him, it says, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And listen, they had heard about this guy John. Probably thought he was some kind of a nut. Many were going to greet him, to see him, but many were just sent by God to go because they wanted to answer that call that God had on their lives. In verse 6 it says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now what we know is that John was not giving anybody absolution. He wasn't forgiving sins. He was just getting them ready as they were confessing their sins and they felt compelled to. And look, they weren't really confessing to John. They were confessing to God. But they could not be clean, could not be forgiven until Christ came on the scene and he's simply preparing their hearts for him that would come. Verse 7 says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee the wrath to come? And listen, God gave John the Baptist uncanny understanding, uncanny discernment, and he saw these guys, and he called them a den of snakes, and look, he had boldness. He was not worried about what they would do, and simply said, listen, you den of snakes, who told you about the judgment that is to come? And by the way, Christ came to save, yes, but he also came to judge, and those guys ought to be awful concerned about that. Because he knew that their hearts were not right. He says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, either come right or don't come at all. And by the way, that's a good word for us today, man. If we're going to serve Christ, if we're going to believe on him, we need to come correctly or not at all. And listen, if I'm going to serve him, I need to serve him with everything I got. And if I'm going to leave something back, if I'm simply going to let it be a will worship thing, or I'm simply going to look good on Sunday, I don't care how I look the rest of the week, God said, no, keep it. If you're not going to serve me wholeheartedly, don't even try to half-heartedly serve me. And look, that's what John is telling them. Either come correctly or come not at all. He says in verse 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you that God is able, I love this, of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And what he is saying is that, look, the new covenant is here, and that's Jesus Christ. That old covenant thing, and because you're linked to Abraham through your bloodline, it means nothing because the new is here. He says in verse 10, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, he says, every tree would bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And listen, he's talking about hellfire. Surely that's a symbolism for that. And he's talking about the judgment that Christ is going to bring. And he's coming, and he's saying talk about his winnowing fan. He says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes, he says, I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you, he says, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ and the judgment that he's going to bring to bear on those unbelieving souls. And by the way, for them then, and even for those that are unbelieving in our time. He goes on, verse 12. If you're with me, say amen. He says, whose fan is in their hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat, it says, into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And of course, this unquenchable fire, he's talking about hellfire, that it burns and will never go out. And he's talking about this winnowing fan. The little farmers back then, they would use this thing, and they would cut down the wheat, they would cut down the tare or the chaff, and they would gather it all in the barn. But wheat actually, or the grain, actually had weight to it, and they would use this fan, they would scoop it up, they would have an opening on either side, they would scoop it up and throw it up in the air, and the actual wheat would fall down to the ground because it was heavy, had weight, had substance, but the chaff would blow out. And they would do this until they did the whole barn floor, and then they would go out and take that chaff or that tare, and they would burn it up so it would not infect the actual meal or the wheat or the grain and the real stuff that was gathered on the floor, because it had substance, it was real. They would gather it up and use it for what it needed to be used for. He says in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. And by the way, guys, if you know Christ, you are his wheat. It says, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And he goes on in verse 13, and he begins to talk about John and his role in baptizing Jesus. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And listen, John, though he was before him in time, 6 months, he knew he was behind him or beneath him, and he couldn't see himself baptizing Jesus. And not to mention, everybody that was getting baptized by John, they were confessing their sins, and Christ had no sin. Verse 15 says, and Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill, he says, all righteousness. And then he suffered him. In other words, God's will, God's plan must go forward. And John the Baptist, you part of that plan. Be obedient. And again, we see John being obedient. Verse 16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, it said the heavens opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. In other words, the Spirit came down and landed or lighted down on Christ, and indeed that Spirit was part of his walk all of his life. And by the way, his earthly ministry started when he was ordained by God, and we see here in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And guys, by the way, he had not even done anything. His earthly ministry is starting, but God is saying, I know he's going to complete the mission I sent him to do. I'm already pleased. We see the Holy Spirit is there. We see God the Father amening the work of Jesus Christ, and he's there to fulfill his role as well. And we see the water, hallelujah, and we see him being baptized, and ultimately the blood, which is going to be shed at Calvary's cross. The water was his beginning when he was baptized into service, and the ending was his blood when he was shed at Calvary's cross. And he not only came by water, but he came by blood to finish the works, or completed the works that God had sent him to do. the witness of God the Father and the Holy Spirit as to who Christ is and starting his earthly ministry and completed with Christ at the cross, hence him coming by water and by blood. Amen. Back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 6. This is he, and this is all about Jesus. This is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And he's talking about the Godhead, and indeed they are one in all aspects of all parts of their lives. They are in agreement. And by the way, guys, in the Old Testament law, that it had to be a requirement that two or three witnesses before something was true, and you don't get no bigger witnesses than these. It says for in verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth. It says the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. And we already saw the Father, he amen it, the Spirit amen it, and his shed blood on the cross, and of course his water baptism. Verse 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And of course, his testimony is 100% true. We see in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son, he says, have the witness in himself. And listen, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that's in you. And look, you read about Christ's finished works, and you can intellectually believe it. But man, when you truly believe it in your heart, God's Spirit gives you that, and the Spirit lives there, and there's nobody and no one or no power can talk you out of that fact that Christ did what he said he was going to do. And hallelujah, he did that for me. It's in your heart. God's Spirit's in your heart. He says in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave to his Son. And again, it's just that simple. Either we belong to him and we're serving him, or we don't. And listen, I can say all day long something and act like I believe it. But man, unless I'm walking in it, unless there's meat on my belief that I say, there's something wrong with the connection I say I have. Verse 11 says, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And by the way, and only in his Son. And for all who are looking for love in all the wrong places, stop looking. And start asking for the Savior to enter your heart and bless you with his salvation. Verse 12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, it says, had the Son of God, hath not life. And again, yes, it is just that simple. And look, if you're just saying it, if you really don't have the Son, then you're walking, you're talking, but you're dead in your trespasses and sin. And Christ is the one really that wants to set you free. Verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye, look, may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And of course, that name is Jesus Christ. We read, and I'm not turning there, I'm just going to read it. Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And again, that name is Jesus Christ. And if you're coming by any other means, I would say that you're coming by a faulty means. In fact, God says you're coming by a faulty means. Because if we're not coming in the name of God's only begotten Son, then guess what? You're not really going nowhere. You're earthbound. you're part of the world system. And by the way, part of the problem. But if you know God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, if indeed he is in your heart, then you're already blessed of God and you're on your way to heaven when he says it's time to go. But guys, until then, until he says it's time, we need to be obedient to what he is telling us to do. Man, there's all kinds of ministry in this building right now that God would have you to be part of. And listen, it could be you talking to your neighbor. It could be you talking to your children, your grandchildren, to your cousins, to your aunts, to your uncles. It could be you talking praying for the cause here in this ministry or other ministries. It could be you seeking what God would have you to do. But there's all kind of ministries right here. But it's up to us to find out what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it, and then do it with all the gusto that the Holy Spirit have given you in your heart. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Please, if you forget everything else, don't forget that. And please, as he's talking to you and speaking to your heart, be obedient to what he's saying. And don't let this day pass without you making sure that you belong to God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this sermon session. Father God, we thank you for this study today. We thank you for blessing us to get through the verses that we are able to get through and look at and to study through, Father God. And even though we just kind of lightly hit on them, it is oh so much deeper. Help us, Father God, in the times that we're living in. Father, we got all kinds of prayer requests and reminders on our prayer list, Father God. So many things going on in the world. So many faulty and sinful things going on in the world. And so many things that are even being amened by the government. And Father God, we sit and we hear it and we're vexed, just like Lot was when he knew what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Father God, we're here and we're your ambassadors and you have saved us and called us and blessed us to know who you are and even know what you would have us to do. Don't let us sit back and rest on our laurels. And Lord, we're in the midst of going through personal things, and I get that. But there are some things that you would have us to do even while we are ailing, even while we're going through. Father God, it's not all about us, but it's all about you and what you want us to be involved in. And keep us obedient to that, Father God. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see spiritual things. And Father God, this we ask in the matchless, miraculous name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we pray with much thanksgiving, as his church says, amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.